us to just keep it up. You know, they're, as new people come all the time, and continue to be the friendly church, a hospitable church. Thank you, Pastor, for taking good care of us, giving us a place for us to stay, nice and comfortable and very warm. Amen. Once I go out, I got to put a T-shirts on, a thermal jacket, and then a coat, and then a blanket as well, a beanie, gloves, and everything. So I'm not used to this, but amen. Thank you for praying for our daughter. Of course, she's been battling this. We didn't know what the problem was, and she got maybe something called autoimmune Bichette disease. And when she was 19 years old, she had a she was on dialysis. She was 19 at that time, dialysis for like 7 months. And there in L.A., you know, I would take her, and sometimes she'll, you know, cry, "Dad, I can't go through this anymore." You know, and, you know, she's doing dialysis, you got people that are 70 and 80 years old. "Oh, who's this little baby? Come and get dialysis." And we went through all of that, and my wife was able to donate her kidney to Summer, and that was back in, the years are all cloudy now. Who knows when? 2-3 years now. And so thank you again for praying for her, for loving her, and everything. You don't know how much it means to us that we have people, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that loves us and care for us and pray for us. And we know that God is in control, amen? And we know that Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good, right? To them that love God, to them that are calling, that are called according to his purpose. And, you know, the suffering and the pain that we go through here in life is just temporary, right? And we know for sure that we'll get a new body. And no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartache, no more tears. And while we live on here, this earth, we need to tell as many people as we can about our Lord, about our Savior. And I thank God that the Christian life that we live in, as long as we obey him, we'll have a joy, a peaceful life here on earth. As we celebrate this Christmas season, let's go out and tell him why he came down to earth. Amen. Yeah, you know, to be born of a virgin. All of us were born through the lineage of Adam and Eve, right? But thank God for the Lord Jesus. He did not come through that lineage. He lived a sinless life, died, buried, rose again on the third day, and has the power to rise back and has the power to forgive us. Just one little drop of his blood can wash away all of our sin. Not just us, but since the Adam and Eve until today, until he comes back again the second time. So thank you very much, church, for that. Thank you for partnering up with us for the last, I want to say, we've been in the field for 13 years. Maybe you guys have been supporting for 14 years while we were selling deputation, trying to raise support. So thank you very much. Hopefully today you'll see some of the fruit that has accumulated onto your account. Okay, so brother, if we can get that on board, let's turn up our Bible to you. If you are not there yet, can we all stand, if able to stand this morning? And we will be taking a look at verse number 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion made a difference in my life. It brought me to Christ. Okay? And it will continue to bring more people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, Lord, we love you, Lord, this morning. And, Lord, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And you died on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, so much. Lord, but yet there are so many people in this world still has not even heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's in Laos or Thailand or Cambodia, Vietnam, Burma, or Myanmar now, or in many other places in the 1040 window. Help us, Lord, as we take the gospel to those people. I had the privilege, Lord, to leave that part of the world as a 5-year-old kid to come to America when I was 7 years old and to see churches, Lord, throughout my city of Long Beach to eventually get saved And now, Lord, I have a privilege of taking that good news that I have received to take it to those people. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do that. And, Lord, thank you for churches, Lord, throughout the United States that have partnered with us in financially supporting us and prayerfully supporting us, Lord, throughout these years. Thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, you're about to do as well. Lord, we pray, Lord, all these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, those of you that don't know me, both my wife and I were born in 1973 during 2 years later, the communists, the Khmer Rouge, came to our country, and they took it over for about 3 years. And around that time, we made an escape out running through the jungles of Cambodia, going to Thailand, refugee camp, and made our way to here to America. They say this, if you want to go to America, you have to have a sponsor. Once you get that sponsor, then you can come to America. Thank God we got our sponsor, and we came to America. And I am now going back to that part of the world to tell people, you know, to go to heaven, you got to have a sponsor as well, right? And that sponsor is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter number 14, verse number 10 tells us that Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. So the majority of us, we took that sponsorship, and so we got to come to America, our sponsor. So my wife and I had a chance to visit my uncle in Thailand at this the same city where the refugee camp was. I went there. So, Uncle, what happened? Why did you not come to America? He goes, well, that was one of the biggest mistakes of my life. I got an invitation 3 times. I denied it 3 different times, so I did not go. And I heard stories of my other uncles that live in Cambodia. This is a story. Now, I was too young to know it, but it was relayed to me later on in life. They says, you know, I don't want to go to America, they said. Because in America, there's no rice. They eat nothing but bread over there. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. No noodles, no rice. So my uncle, both my uncles and my aunt, my mom's younger sister, they rejected, did not come to America. I go, you regret not taking that sponsorship to come to America. You know what? I'm gonna tell you, the sponsorship to go to heaven is free as well. Yeah. All you got to do is just like that sponsorship, because you rejected, you did not get to go. My mom, my dad, both of my grandparents, and several of my other uncles and aunts, we accepted that invitation, so we got to go to America. Now, uncle, I'm gonna give you, and now aunt, I'm gonna give you an invitation as well. I'm going to show you, because I am an ambassador of heaven, amen? That's what we are, right? Look, I went through the whole plan of salvation with them, Pastor. Guess what? They reject again. Because there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof is the ways of death. This whole world, whether it's Buddhism, or Mormonism, or Catholicism, or Jehovah's Witness, or any other isms out there, or even atheism, right? They believe, right, that you got to do this, 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 and this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do that. That way, if they can do all of that, they have a better chance. They're not 100% certain, but they have a better chance of making it to heaven. Where it's Bible believers, where it's us, right? We believe in salvation by grace through faith, right? All you have to do is believe. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's right. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 5 says what? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Right. All we had to do was accept that free gift. Take that sponsorship. It's free. We get to go to heaven. Right. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right. Simple as that. Whosoever, I'm sorry, I quoted the wrong verse, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just as simple as that. But the world been lied and be deceived by the devil, which my parents or my grandparents or my ancestors, the whole generation, they believe. Can you imagine living in a world where they have been raised and have been taught that there is more than one life, that they believe in reincarnation, that if you are a good person in this life, in your next life, you might become some famous person or a rich person or a powerful person or a king or a queen or a president. But on the other hand, if you are a bad person in this life, in your next life, you might grow up to be a cockroach. Now, that's ridiculous. We looked at that and we laughed because we have a biblical worldview, right? We looked at it and we laughed and they mocked us, but I go out and tell them that's not true. They laugh at me. They mock at me. You mean, I share the gospel and they laugh at me. You believe that? How could you believe something like that? And I look at them and I go, well, the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. And all the things that you believe in, and my aunts and my uncles, all the things that you believe in, can you come through with it? My uncle says to me, but I have to try. No matter how hard you try, you will fail. Right. Uncle, and I beg with my uncle, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. They have been lied to and been deceived and tricked. That devil is a liar. Can you imagine that? Going from generation to generation to generation, from the time that you were born, raised up until the time that you old and you die, they have been taught and passed on from generation, taught this lie. But I thank God for those of us, amen, we were born here, some of us were raised here, we got to hear the story of the virgin birth, the Christmas story. We have the truth. God has opened up our eyes to know the truth. And I thank God, again, I thank God so much that God allowed me and my family, my wife and her family, to come and escape out from that part of the world where the communists killed anywhere from about 1.5 to about 3.1 million of his own people. The people that lived in Long Beach, California, that came and lived in Long Beach, that escaped out of that, we lost at least one person that we know that we've loved. My wife, she lost her dad. He was in the opposition, army, and they came over him. Her mom told her dad, you got to leave, they're going to leave, they're going to come, they're going to find out. You're one of the soldiers, and she said, no, they're not going to find out. Sure enough, they came over, and they captured him, and they tortured him, and her uncle saw, they tortured him before they executed him. I mean, this is a part of the world that, you know, that's a little bit different. When we grew up in America, where everything is almost like Disneyland, right? It's different. I'm going to show you a little bit today what things. Can we go to the next one? Again, they live in a world that's filled with darkness and poor spiritually. They believe in good works and good deeds. And even though they cannot perform all those things and they'll fail, but yet they'll put their faith and trust in Buddha. They'll put their faith and trust in a statue. Think about this, right? We know that we ought not to have idols, right? We know that, right? But they don't know that. This is something that a man would make, right? They boil whatever bronze or metals or silver, whatever they boil, and they make a head and arms and body and feet and legs, and have eyes and eyes they cannot see. Ears, but ears that it cannot hear. Mouth that cannot speak or talk or eat. Necks cannot move. Hands that it cannot handle. Feet that cannot walk. But yet they'll bow down to this statue. We look at that and that's ridiculous, right? Rightfully so. But them, on the other hand, that's right for them. They have to see it visually for them to bow down and worship it. And I look at that, and I'm praying, how can you possibly do this? Well, that's what mom and dad's taught us. Well, true, that's what we are, when mom and dad taught us. But is it true? Is it right? When my dad passed away, you know, those of you that know my dad passed away while we were over there, and I got a phone call from my brothers and my sisters. Dad just passed away. And obviously my dad was not saved, and I witnessed to him many times, begged with him many times. My wife, my kids, you know, witnessed to him, but he rejected it. But I do have hope that he did accept the Lord at the last minute. That's all what I'm hanging on. But my brothers, you know, to be Asian, you have to be at least a monk once in your lifetime. I never became a monk. I got saved at 19, but I never became a monk. But do this for dad. You have to do merits for dad. You got to become a monk. What is that going to do? Dad's dead already. But we're Lao. We're Asian. It's our tradition. And my brothers, my mom, my aunts and uncle that are close to me, they know that I don't do any of that stuff. But my other relatives that don't know me well, you are a disgrace to our Asian culture. Why would you? This is your dad. Why would you not become a monk for your dad? It's our tradition. We're Lao. We're Asian. It's our tradition. I go, but is it true, though? And you cannot reason with them. I ask, is it true? They didn't answer me, but it is our tradition. They keep on going back again. Well, some traditions are good, obviously, right? But tradition that is not right, that is not pleasing to the Lord, is a God that I serve. I'm not going to take part in it. Look, I'll eat the rice, amen, because I'm Asian. I'll eat the noodles, okay? I'll eat with chopsticks, all right? I'll sleep on the floor if I have to. That's fine. But for me to bow down and to become a monk, to shave my head, to put a robe on, and to bow down to and do all this mumbling and grumbling that you repeat a bunch of words over and over again for about 10 minutes and has no meaning whatsoever. Vain babbling, that's what the Bible calls it. I'm not going to take part in that. You know, I don't. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, they laugh at me and mock at me and make fun of me. But I have to say, look, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. You can mock me and laugh at me, make fun of me as much as you can. But again, I know that people live in darkness. Let's go on to the next one. Not only are they poor spiritually or blinded spiritually, but you know what? They're very poor economically. Laos makes about $150 a month, working about 50 to 60 hours a week. Thailand, about $300 a month, a little bit better. That is $300 a month, that's a low end. That's like your minimum wage. Because some of these people are so poor economically that one of the young ladies, you know, she was pregnant. She came with her and her husband, had a little two kids, came over to church one day. And supposedly, one of our people witnessed her, and supposedly they got saved. And they were faithful for about maybe 2, 3, 4 months. And next thing you know, the baby got delivered. Okay, what happened to your baby? Oh, we sold the baby. Sell your baby? Why would you sell your own baby? Come to find out, Pastor, they sold three other kids before this one. Why can't you just go get a job, work a job, normal job, and, you know, I guess they have not shown back to church. It's sad. Really sad to see some of the things that's happening over there. And we tell them, hey, look, once you get saved, if you are a child of God, God's going to work in your heart. God's going to work in your life. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. that old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. Hey, look, whatever you did before, if you're saved, you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. He'll lead you and guide you unto all truth. He's like your extra conscience that you have. So you don't develop. You have a new creature now in you. You're a new man now. And some of these guys, by the way, I'm talking about the monk culture a little bit. The majority of our people are monk. It's a language. I speak Lao. But the monk culture, the monk language, I don't speak it at all. But thank God they speak Lao so they can speak my language. But the monk culture, if you have a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter, right? If some guy likes your daughter, all he has to do is this. Take her. If she lives in your house for 3 nights, all this guy has to do is go to the chief of that village, get 2-3 other elders to be on the side of the chief of your village. She is now automatically his wife. Dad cannot say anything about that at all. Now, you and I think about Second Amendment right away, right? There's no Second Amendment over there, okay? You're not even allowed to have anything. And we tell our people, Pastor, you are a Christian now. You're saved now. You forget about that monk culture. We don't do that anymore. You now have a biblical worldview. You don't do that. You change. By the way, I say these things. This culture now is happening in the villages up in the mountains, way up in the boonies where you don't see, no civilization. They still practice it, but in the capital city, obviously, they don't practice it because the Lao government is cracking down on it, and thank God for that. Let's go to the next one. This is in Thailand. Okay, these soccer boys, we started this soccer program about a year ago, and each and every single one of these soccer boys, okay, including the workers, they come from a home where they're raised by a grandmother, a grandfather, a great-grandmother, a great-grandfather, talking about darkness, right? Or raised by a single mom or a single dad. Every single one of them. Our pastor in Long Beach taught us this. Why do we have such a weak society? Why do we have such a weak community? We have a weak community because we have weak churches. Well, obviously, there's no churches over there. We have weak churches because we have weak families. We have weak families because we have weak fathers. We have weak fathers because the fathers have not been taught. Or they are still little boys. And so we have a community, a society where it's like this. So we are doing all that we can to try to help up these young people. Let's go to the next one. In a world of darkness, I believe compassion will make a difference. In a world filled with instability, compassion will make a difference. Let's go to the next one. There is hope in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. You and I, we found that hope. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, he was moved with compassion. In order to see it, we've got to open up our eyes. They are everywhere. Now, it might not be here in the northern Idaho area, but all around the world, all we have to do is open up our eyes, and our eyes will affect our heart. I remember when I, as a 35-year-old man, I had left. Again, I left when I was 5 years old, got to America when I was 7 years old, and I had not gone back until I was 35 years old. And Pastor, when I went back for the very first time, boy, my eyes just started opening up. The poverty there, the darkness over there. It's crazy. People there, obviously green light means go, right? Yellow light means go faster. Red light means go if the police is not there. Every man did that was right their own eyes. People going the wrong direction, riding. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, cars, I mean, traffic jam all over the place. One of the reasons why there's such a, so much traffic jam is this guy is going the wrong direction. You would think, they would think, right? But it, they do this kind of things. And I see people everywhere. I look, my friend Kunaro Keo took me on a moped ride, three people on one little moped without helmet on. They stuck me right there in the middle. And we went around the capital city of Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And my eyes, I go, wow, I am so privileged. I am so blessed that God has allowed me to escape out of there to go to America, to be raised in America. I have nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about. And I go there and I see people. I look left, I look right, I look forward, I look behind me. I see people, just ants everywhere. I remember thinking, Kumli, you got to come back to this part of the world. You got to come back. These people, not only are they poor spiritually, but they are poor economically as well. You've got to go there and make a difference in their life. Let's go to the next one. This little girl, Rita, she's been coming for about a year now. She just got saved maybe 4 months ago. Very shy, very timid. Very bashful, wouldn't say anything, wouldn't crack a smile, nothing when she first came to church. You try to talk to her, and she tried to grin a little bit, but try to keep her composure. And now, she's the loudest girl in the church. She's so faithful. Even before she got saved, she only missed church one time. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, midweek service. The reason why she missed church was because Grandpa and Grandma took her to the Buddhist temple. She must not like it. And she's become, loves my wife. Next one. Here's Baimon. We met her out soul winning. Comes to learn English with us. Both girls come learn English with us. In fact, Rita, the girl before that, she was playing piano for the church this morning. Amen? One of my workers, my Bible college graduate, he shot me and, hey, Rita played the piano for the church this morning. I don't know how good it is, but she played, you know. But here's another young girl raised by her great-grandpa, great-grandma. And again, she got saved maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And let's go to the next one. These girls, without anyone to love them, to care for them, and to meet their needs, they will grow up just like their mom, just like their dad. By mom, the second girl that I mentioned, I ran to her mom one time, straight face, as straight as I tried to talk to her. Hi, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. Are you by mom's mom? Nothing back, Pastor. Would not respond back or anything, just straight face, very sad, just like she just ate a lemon or something. Every time I see her, I try to talk to her, but nothing. Well, at least grandpa, grandma, great-grandpa, grandma allow her daughter, this daughter, to come to church. But these two girls, they every chance they get, teacher D, can we go to your house and bake? These little girls, they need someone like that to love them, to care for them, to give them attention, to spend time for them, to hug them, to say, I love you. A couple of days ago, Baimon called my wife up and just talked to my wife. They don't care about me. They only care about my wife. That's it. We were at the Bangkok airport. She called my wife up again. Teacher D, I'm going to miss you. How long are you going to be gone? Please come back fast. I love you, Teacher D. Teacher Kumli, who cares about him? Next one. These guys, society, three stooges. That kid with the soccer ball, his name is Focus. These three boys are not saved yet, by the way. Pray about that. This boy, Focus, 2 o'clock in the morning, great-grandpa, great-grandma called the police looking for him. At 2 o'clock in the morning, where's Focus? About 2:30, he strolls in. Hey, where you been? Oh, I'm just hanging out at the Mekong River. Grandpa, grandma cannot keep up with them anymore. That's the job and responsibility of a mom and a dad. But mom and dad cannot stay together, cannot stick together. Why? Because they're too young to get married, and they don't even know any better. Next one. by here's Fong Bia, raised by a single mom. She's got other siblings, half siblings. My wife is spending a lot of time with her. She's helping her out, teaching her English as well. Next one. Here's Lipo, her brother. This kid, by the way, let me say this. Don't think kids are not paying attention in church. They are. They might be goofing around. They might be talking. They might be playing around. But they're actually listening. Because one day his sister was playing with the piano. He was up here leading song. And then after he got done leading song, he was preaching. He says, man can't not help you. Only God can help you. Oh, you listening in church? Wow, where'd you get that from? I told our work, this kid is paying attention. He comes learn English with us as well. Again, by the way, one of the reasons why he's not saved yet is because I want to make sure they understand salvation. Because sometimes in Cambodia and Laos and Thailand and Vietnam, they'll go to, hey, 1, 2, 3, pray with me. Now you're saved. No, you're not. Yep. You have not gone through the whole plan of salvation with them. And you're going to get them to say a sinner's prayer? They don't even understand that they're lost. They have a disease that's called sin. That's right. And the only cure is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to be very careful. We don't lead them to a false salvation, thinking they're saved when in reality they're not even saved. And sometimes we're guilty of it in Long Beach. I've been guilty of it myself in Long Beach. You know, get to, you know, just for the number's sake. Oh, this person's saved, that person's saved. So I've learned over the years that sometimes, man, in Thailand, oh yeah, we went out soul winning for 30 minutes, 40 people got saved. They have no idea who Jesus is. What Jesus could be one of the presidents of the United States. They don't know any better. Let's go to the next one. Focus. There go focus again. Next one. These kids, without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope whatsoever. They will end up like their mom. Look at this name, lottery. Raised by a single mom. Sometime he'll spend time with his single dad. He comes to learn English with us. And I told his mom, you know, mom is a good person, but sometimes, you know, and I told, this kid doesn't even know how to read, even in Thai. We're glad that you let your son come to church. You let your son come learn English with us. But wouldn't it be better, I don't know, sort of nicely in a calm voice, wouldn't it be better if your son knows how to read in Thai first? Well, for sure, we love to teach him English. Wouldn't we? Well, but he needs to focus on learning how to read Thai and write Thai. Next one. Ben Tin, another good name, amen? All these Thai names, right? Next one. Raised by great-grandmother and great-grandpa as well. Here's Noah, single dad, raised by a single dad. Next one. Here's Q, raised by great-grandparents. Next one. Now about single dad. Next one. We have a problem. Lipo and Leo. By the way, Leo is the name of a popular beer over there. She wants to name her son Lipo and Leo and Fong Beer. You got to be kidding me. Next one. Here's another good name, right? Gino and Google, amen? Google, I'm going to name my son Google. Facebook. No, I'm just joking. They don't have it. But these kids, now both these kids are saved, okay? One's raised by grandmother and the other one's raised by the single parent. Next one. These are our soccer guys. Next one. That guy, the August. August, amen? Next one, the kids, again, we took them to a zoo. The kids need this. If there's no mom and dad in the home, the church has got to be the mom and the dad. It's got to be the big brothers and big sisters. Next one. Oh, they love. Here's our soccer guys. Again, half of these are saved. The other half is not saved yet. Please continue to pray. We'll take them. We'll compete with another church. We lost both times. Amen. I'm not a soccer player. I play basketball. Okay. One of the reasons why we do is because I got saved because of a basketball league. Okay. Invitation for those. Just evangelism purposes. So I think I'm going to do the same thing in the other side of the world. Next one. Here, we're sharing the gospel. with these soccer boys. We feed them as well, you know, because they're always hungry, Pastor. Your mom, don't, mom and dad, don't, grandpa, grandma, no, they don't feed us. Teacher, do you have food? I'm like, okay, come on over. And so we'll teach them for about maybe 10, 15 minutes, share the gospel with them, and afterward we feed them, amen, after the soccer practice. Next one. Here's me, just sharing the gospel with them. Next one. My wife, English classes with these young ones. Next one. My wife's English class again. Next one. This is our former bus ministry. We don't have a bus, but this van is our bus ministry. You know, somebody donated $5,000 for us to purchase this used van. We're going to use it to bring kids to church. Amen. Next one. These kids, again, stand, okay, almost zero chance of making it in life if we don't stand in the gap, if we don't do something about it, if we don't love them, if we don't share the gospel with them. But it's like a curse from generation to generation to generation, and I'm hoping and praying we will go in there, step in, and do something about it and change the course of some of them, amen, and change their destiny. Next one. We want to make a difference in the lives of these young people, okay? One at a time, village by village, city by city, province by city. And Lord willing, we will be able to bring light to that part of the world. Next one. Now, who will help us spread the good news? Big question, right? So what I want to do, Pastor, is that you're teaching on 2 Timothy tonight. Well, 2 Timothy 2:2 says this. Paul is talking to young Timothy. Timothy, the things, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we want to be able to teach and train up young Timothys to go and spread the good news, to go out, win souls, to baptize them, to teach them and disciple them, to build the church and teach and train the same thing and duplicate ourselves. Amen? Next one. So we want to multiply our efforts. Go to the next one. So I want to introduce something called the Project 1040 window. Okay? It is something that our home church in Long Beach thought of because we have young preacher boys, okay, and their wives in Cambodia. They're even bigger than us in Cambodia. Brother Dave Board, who oversees our whole team in Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, eventually Vietnam and the Philippines as well. Both the board's got a huge, humongous team over there in Cambodia, and he's produced a lot of young preacher boys, Muslims, by the way. Okay? They are the only group that are reaching the Muslims, and now the Muslims are out there reaching their own people. So what we want to do is, these preacher boys, is be able to get them financial support so that they don't have to work 50, 60 hours a week, making only maybe $150, $200, $300 a month. They could be using that time to serve the Lord instead of working. They will use that time to build the church, amen? Amen. To win souls. Yeah. So let's go to the next one. So back in 2020, Brother Chui, by the way, he preached for me this morning while I'm here. He's Brother Johnny's right-hand man. He's, you know, he came to learn English back with us back in 2012. And I witnessed him. It took him 2 years before Brother Chui would get saved. Now he's faithfully serving the Lord. Next one. Brother Supan, we started a volleyball league back in 2015 in Laos. He came and he played volleyball. We invited him to church because we feed them after church. Asians love to eat, amen? But it has to be rice, though, or noodles. And he came and would not come inside the church, would just come and sit out in the truck. But he would come inside and eat after we're done. I go, Supan, what are you doing? I'm hungry, teacher. Well, you're welcome to come inside with us. So next week he came again and came inside. Make a long story short, 4 months later, he got saved, amen? He's a 2020 graduate, married this young lady right here, one of our young ladies, our helper, and now they have a church that I turned over to him. 2 years ago. Okay, still got a lot of learning to do, as you know. You know, 2 years of experience. Lord willing, this church will continue to grow. I got a video last night, and they had a pretty good crowd this morning. Next one. And I believe last week, that church right there, two people got saved. Amen. This church, Brother Kong, let me tell you about Brother Kong. Brother Kong came to learn English with us back in 2015 as well. And I am going over time. Wow. Brother Kong has a good friend by the name of King. Amen. So we got King and Kong. King is no longer in church, but Kong is still faithful. Faithfully serving the Lord. And his wife, Lily, both of us came to learn English with us. And to make a long story short, Brother Kong, I witnessed to Brother Kong. He got saved. I baptized him. And he was working about 55 hours a week, making $75 a month at that time. I'm like, and he then came to learn English with us in the evening in my wife's class. I said, Kong, man, you're growing. You're faithful to church. You know what? I need a handyman because I'm like a girl when it comes to handyman stuff. Won't you come work at the English school, help me out, and I'll teach you and disciple you even more now. Gives you more time to serve God. And it gave him time to go through his village and lead people to the Lord, come back in the city, went back the next week, lead more people to the Lord. And he's been doing this and having Bible study. This guy loves it. People are getting saved, started with children and teenagers. You'll see in a little bit, people started getting saved and he would bring them into the city where the church is and then take them back. You got to leave like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Better you than me, amen? He would do that for about a year. I go, Kong, you know, this is getting bad. You guys are bringing 30, 40 people in your truck. And who knows, it's a communist country. What's going to happen? Brother Joey's mom happens to be the chief of that village. I mean, the first guy I mentioned, and she okayed it. But the upper, I don't know what's going to say. We can't take any chance. Kong, go to your church. Start your own church, your village, all right? You have any question? Come see me. Okay? So, next one. And they would host a youth camp in the summertime for 2 months. Here in the States, 1 week, right? 2 months in the summertime over there. Guess who takes care of them? We do, amen? We feed them. We give them a place to stay, you know, a floor and everything. As hot, as humid. Can you imagine? The girls, we got a girls' dorm. We got a guys' dorm. Next one. Here is Gong's church now. They used to meet in the living room. They outgrew that, built this. It was not as this big, but we tore down the kitchen and the bathroom, essentially doubling their capacity is what you have now. We outgrew this, and I came to my pastor, Long Beach, and go, Pastor, we need to buy land for Brother Kong because they are outgrowing this. So they took a love offering. It's real cheap, right? It cost them $10,000. So our church in Long Beach was able to raise $10,000. We bought land, which is probably about 200 yards, 300, no more than 300 yards from this building right here. Amen? We want to be able to build a school one day to come learn English, to help out societies, get a little bit educated, you know, so that we can help. Let's go to the next one. This is today, this morning. Brother Johnny Esposito, my pastor's older brother, is there preaching this week. Next week, he'll be at that other guy, Brother Supon, the volleyball player, church. Next one. Again, Brother Johnny, we are out. Again, I've talked about this. We're outgrown this building. Next one. Here's our graduate from 2020. Brother, you showed a little picture. 2020, you'll see some of those were from the early days of Brother Kong's ministry. I asked Dave Bort and Johnny Esposito to come perform the graduation. Next one. Here's Brother Vang Pao. He came to learn English back in 2017 from Brother Kong's village. He came to learn English in my wife's class, ended up getting saved, and went away from the Lord for a little bit and then came to his senses. That's how you know you are saved, amen, when you come back to God, amen? Yeah. He graduated, married, Wami, and he's got his own church about 3 hours north of where we are now. Next one. This is last week. Okay, that's from Brother Vang Pao. This is last week. Next one. Brother, and then these two couple here, same thing. From the early days when they were just teenagers, early days of Brother Kong's ministry, now they've graduated from Bible college, now they're married. They were very instrumental during the early days of Brother Kong's ministry. It's couples like this. They just got married last month, maybe 2 months ago.
Next one.
Here's Pachua, which was a member of my church. They're in Vientiane and got married to Brother Fatih. They both graduated from the class of 2024. He and his wife are helping me out in Thailand right now. Next one. Now, Brother T and Malia, they're going to get married next month, okay? Both of them are not from our church, are not from our ministry, but they found out that we were teaching the Bible and developing, training those who will serve the Lord. So they found out about it. They came and learned with us. And he will eventually take over his dad's church after he gets married. So he's in his village. She's in her village. Once they get married next month, obviously they're going to come to go to his village. Next one. Pukun, that same village. Next one. And again, these two young ladies from the early days of the ministry, of Brother Kong's ministry, they came, Gigi, the shorter one, she hated Christianity, would mock and laugh at them until one day she came to church and she got saved, amen? And now she is helping with the children's ministry at that church. Next one. By the way, both of those girls, they came and helped me out for about 2 months. Very helpful. Very helpful. Such a servant spirit. Oh, look, they're involved with the children's camp. This is the dormitory. This is another village, the dormitory where we have a Bible college. Next one. Again, children's camp. Next one. Brother V, another grad. He's not from our church, but he's a graduate up in the mountains of Laos. Next one. Again, Brother V. Next one. And we also have a youth conference in Laos. I asked our youth pastor from Long Beach to come and preach to us. Oh, they enjoy it. They don't get anything like this. Our church in Long Beach raised about $5,000so that they can come. All they have to pay is $1. That's it. They don't have a lot of money. But $1 for you to come will feed you for 3 days, all right? But you have to sleep on the floor there, okay? We don't have hotels for you. But they loved it anyway. It was hot and humid, but they loved it. Great teaching, great preaching, great music. I love to hear young people sing, amen?
Amen.
Next one. We had our leadership conference in Thailand. We've got people from Laos and Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, the Philippines, from South Korea, and India as well that came to this conference. Looks like we will host another one August of 2025. Next one. This is in Thailand. We rent to this building, it doubled our rent. But can you press play on that, Brother Nathan? Look how dirty it is. Is there a sound to that?
The play button. Okay, look, we're looking either to buy or to rent this. And we're either looking here. It's pretty spacious, actually. We've got some of our church members here with us. These are pretty much all brand new believers.
And,
as you can see, once again, it's very
As you can see, that building right there is where the church is. And we also have a house to house our staff, our workers. Okay? As you can see, there's a lot of potential here. We were stuck in a teeny tiny little building, okay? Like from this wall to maybe that wall right there, and from here to here, that was it. That's how small the church was, with the kitchen and the bathroom. So it made our auditorium very small, but this will give us a lot of capacity. We'll have a volleyball court, maybe a little tiny soccer field. We're going to do a lot of things. We need to fix it up. Next one. We have to tear down a bedroom to extend our auditorium. Next one. Here, next one. Let's go to the next one. You know, a lot of work. Next one. Corn toss, amen. These kids need something to do. If they don't find something to do, they're going to get involved with drugs and gangs. They'll get a boyfriend. They'll get a girlfriend. They'll get alcohol, and they'll end up just like their parents. So we want to make a difference in their lives. Next one, I better hurry up. We held our very first church service on November 10th before we left the country to come here. Next one. This is last week. For Brother, I had Chris Charvey come and preach for me. Next one. Here is Brother Somsak, raised by a grandmother, but he's a preacher serving the Lord now. Next one. The graveyard. I don't have time to talk about the graveyard of missions. Thailand is the graveyard of missions. Please pray for Thailand, you guys. One of the reasons why I left Laos to go to Thailand, because Thailand is such a hard country. Next one. This is Satellite Church, 2 hours away. A missionary went there for about 30 years. Him and his wife died. He got this property, got all this property. I want to say at least 10 acres. When the pastor died, the church died as well. So I don't know what happened. But I found out about it. Hey, let's go there. And so they are allowing us to use it. We can only go there on Saturdays twice a month right now. I just don't have enough workers for it. But at least we can go there and encourage the 10 Christians that are still around. We want to be able to build it back up from 10 people again. Next one. I got my workers there, my wife, and the workers cleaning it up. Next one. Next one. By the way, I saw a snake skin shed right behind the pulpit. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Next one. Udantani, a city of about 600,000 people. A missionary went there, got a building, got land, a huge building, fit probably about 150 people. Missionary had a health problem, came back to Florida. Church died as well. Other missionaries tried to take over, the church died. So in 2017, I went there and said, hey, look, can I use your building for a youth conference? Sure, use it. Since then, we were able to help plant a church. Back in 2017, I would go there once a month to preach on Sunday morning. And the church is still alive today, amen? They're probably running about 40 people now, but a lot better than zero. Udantani, next one. The church in Nong Khai, same thing. Next one. Here's a church of Con Can. Another missionary went there, left the field, 1.7 million people, turned the work over to no one. Next one. Karat, or Nakhon Ratchasima, another name is Karat, which is about 2.4 million people. Again, the national pastor died. Great man of God, great preacher, but for some reason could not produce a young Timothy. The church died along as well. Got a building now. And a missionary, a Philippine missionary, has got to take over the work. These are the ones that I know of personally that I preach at each and every single one of them. They had called me to come here to take it over. I go, I'm in Laos. I can't go. So they got that other someone else to go. But pray for Thailand, you guys. If you want to serve the Lord, come to Thailand. If you love God, if you love lost souls, if you want to help people out, if you want to bring people to Christ, come to Thailand. It's an open country. You could go there. Next one. We need a lot more things. English teachers, Bible college teachers, music teachers, a youth pastor, Christian school ministry. We definitely need a Christian school teacher right now. Let me say this. I'm almost out of time. Well, I'm out of time a long time ago. When the Catholics went to the Philippines, Brother Scott, they could not convert anyone to Catholicism. You know what they did, though? They started a Catholic school, brainwashing the next generation. And now the Philippines is 80% Catholics. For the wrong, right? Hitler did the same thing for the wrong, right? Pol Pot did the same thing in Cambodia for the wrong, right? These young people, they're moldable. We want to start a Christian school, but I just don't have enough manpower to come there to do the work. We need a Christian school to teach and train up these young guys so they can raise them up right, teach them how to be a good mom, a good dad, a good husband, a good father, a good brother, a good sister, a good citizen, and to be a preacher of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. We need that. Next one. I don't have time to talk about this. Go to the next one. Compassion, you guys. These young kids, they need someone to love them. They need someone to care for them. They need someone to give them time. They need someone to teach and train them up right. Because the Bible does say, right, in Proverbs 22, 6, right, train up a child in the way that they should go, right? And when they get old, they will not depart from it. So we want to create a whole generation, a whole new generation of believers, of armies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell our young people, look, you guys are David's mighty men. That's what we want to create. But we got to be able to do something about that. Church, thank you very much for praying with us, for partnering up with us, for sending us out, for holding the ropes for us so that we can go and make a difference in those people's life. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of more work to do. We have not even hit the tip of the iceberg. Pray for our preacher boys that have already graduated, that are out serving the Lord in the different villages. We have a Hmong conference right now. That's another reason why Brother Johnny's over there. I was supposed to be teaching and preaching December 17, 18, and 19. I said, Kong, I can't go this year. Okay, take me off. Send someone else. Send Brother Johnny. Send someone else. But our graduates are all there being taught and trained and to be able to meet a little bit. So, church, again, Pastor, thank you again for everything you guys are doing for us for the last 14 years of holding the ropes down for us. We've got a lot more works to do. We got a lot of more people to train, and they hopefully one day will take that baton and train others as well. Amen? We've got to continue to pass that torch down to the next generation. Church, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Thong Di. Listen, I'd like us to go ahead, and we're going to have an invitation here. And I'd like you at this time, let's go ahead and just bow our heads. We'll be in a spirit of prayer. Tremendous, tremendous presentation and of what's of this tremendous need that's taking place in Thailand, in Laos, Cambodia. I mean, millions and millions of people that are in darkness. But what a blessing to see people getting saved. And what a blessing it is to be a little part of that. And maybe God's spoken to your heart. You know, we have the opportunity to be a part of Faith Promise, and many of you are a part of that, certainly, and you can become a part of that. But what about you and I here? You know, we're not going physically to Thailand unless the Lord calls us to go there, and maybe that might happen with someone here, but for the most part, we're here, and this is probably where we're going to spend maybe the rest of our lives. But what about the opportunities that we have? Let's go ahead and have the music begin to play. But what about the opportunity?